It's very good to be here in sunny Bendigo. And what a beautiful day we've had. Thank you for all the effort put into this morning's one-way Sunday. And what a great morning we had. And I really liked those ice creams. They were good. I'm sure they were healthy too. But it's if you're visiting tonight, thank you for coming. I was speaking to my brother Darren this morning, and Darren and Michelle send their greetings to you. They said they miss you down here, so I've done what I was asked to do. There we go. I think it's about 15 months since I've been here. I think it was August last year when I was here. The time goes really quickly when you're having fun. And we've been all over the world since then. Thank you for praying for us. Earlier this year, I went back to Europe again, back to Italy and Spain for meetings. And, you know, it's pretty amazing just the impact you have on the mission field. Because some of you have most probably been on missions trips, but you know, every time you invest in someone, it's just a wonderful thing. We were preaching in Italy, and just one meeting for each church we went to, and you know, the people, they don't want you to go. They really don't want you to go, and so. And you just talk through an interpreter for hours and hours after each meeting, and you're just worn out. But you have to go because you've got to drive another hour or two to get to the next meeting. And so we just went from church to church to church, and we were thoroughly worn out. But we just had a wonderful time. I went back to Spain and preached for Brother Felipe, James Felipe, in Valladolid, which is a city about 3 hours' drive north of Madrid. And we just had a wonderful time there. And the Lord's really blessing the work there in Spain. God willing, in the will of the Lord, we'll be back there again in the next, early next year for more meetings. So please pray for us as we go there. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3. Let me just read it. Three verses, verses 16 to 18. Second Peter 3, 16 to 18. If you haven't got a Bible, that's fine. You just follow along as I read. This is Peter speaking. He says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, now he's referring to the Apostle Paul here, in which are some things hard to be understood. I'm really glad that Peter said that. Even Peter said that some of Paul's stuff was hard to be understood. That makes me feel a little bit better. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. What's he saying here? He's saying some people will take parts of the Bible and will twist that, or they'll wrestle it round to make it say something that it's really not saying, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, verse 17, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It's possible for a Christian to become unsteadfast, for want of a better word. So how does a Christian stay steadfast? I want us to focus in on verse number 18 for a few minutes tonight. Verse number 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I want to talk about how to grow as a Christian. How to grow as a Christian. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing tonight. We thank you, Father, for the beautiful day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word for a few minutes this evening. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts in a special way, and I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will control what I say and work in those needy lives tonight. We need your help tonight, Father, and we pray for it, and we give you thanks. We pray, believing in Jesus' name, amen. Now, when we look at this subject of growing, I must begin by saying, if you're going to grow as a Christian, you actually have to be a Christian. Now, that's pretty obvious. If you're going to grow as a Christian, you have to actually be a Christian. And it's possible that there's someone here, there's most probably someone here in this crowd tonight, it's a good crowd, is not a Christian. You say, what is a Christian? I'm glad you asked. I'll tell you what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has come into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You know, no one is born a Christian. People think they are born a Christian because they were baptized as a baby. And I've got no idea why you would baptize someone as a baby. The baby doesn't know what's going on. You can go to church. You can become religious. None of that stuff makes you a Christian. You can be born in a so-called Christian country, even though I doubt as to whether Australia is a Christian country anymore. But you can be born in a Christian country. You can go to catechism classes. You can be baptized, as they say, even sanitized. That doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is someone who has come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You say, how does that happen? It happens by a thing called faith. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one can say, because of my goodness, because of my religion, because of my whatever it might be, because of my good works, I am now a Christian. It doesn't work that way. We are saved by grace. What is grace? Grace is God's unmerited favor. We do not deserve the grace of God. We do not deserve to be. No one deserves to become a Christian. That's what makes it so wonderful. This relationship with God is by grace through faith. We can receive the gift of salvation, and it's a gift. It's paid for. A gift has to be paid for. You say, how was it paid for? It was paid for when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died for my sins, and he died for your sins. The payment was made. In fact, Jesus on the cross, when he was just about to die, he said, it is finished. What was finished? His payment for our sins. So every sin I did and I have done and I will do, every sin is paid for. Every sin that you've committed and you will commit is paid for. You say, how do I receive that gift? It's by faith. Faith is another word for believing. So if you are not a Christian tonight, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this message tonight most probably won't make a lot of sense to you. The bit about growing. But if you're not a Christian tonight, I give you the invitation. We'll have the invitation at the start of the message. Right at the start, we'll say, listen, please consider becoming a Christian tonight. It's not easy, but it's so simple. Consider confessing your sins and saying, yes, Jesus, I need you in my life. That's how you become a Christian. And I know we don't have time now, but I know if we had the time, and if I was to ask for testimonies, there's most probably 50 people in here could stand up tonight and say, yes, I'll tell you when I became a Christian. But you could become a Christian tonight. But if you are a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're supposed to grow. You are supposed to grow. You know, every living thing must grow. Every living thing either grows or dies. Do you know that really, really old people, really, really old people shrink? They do. Really, now, there's no really old people here, I understand that. But really, really old people, they actually shrink. They actually start to get smaller. But if someone is healthy, yeah, churches either grow or they die. They either grow or they die. Now, we read our verse here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but grow. You know, growing is natural. Growing is a natural thing. We are supposed to grow. You know, if you're a new Christian here, you are supposed to grow as a new Christian. If you take your Bible, come over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. Let me read this verse to you. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. How are we to grow? A babe in Christ, in other words, someone that has just become a Christian, is supposed to grow just like a newborn baby. I don't know, I'd say there's lots of babies in this church. We have a new grandson in our family. Little Harry Young was born about, 5 or 6 weeks ago, something like that. And my father, before he died, my father died when I was 3, so I never knew my dad, but his name was Harry Young. And so they've named my little grandson after his great-grandfather, which was a great honour. But I've discovered something with little babies. They need to be fed. They really do. Babies need to be fed. Usually, I don't know, how often do they feed babies? Every hour? Every 2 hours? Oh, sorry, that's teenagers, isn't it? Actually, teenage boys only eat once a day, from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m., you know. But I may not be much good at the child-rearing side of things, but I know that little babies need to be fed. And they need to be changed as well. But I wasn't good at any of that stuff. But I did change a nappy once. But anyway, that's another story. But little babies need to be fed. They can't feed themselves. And what do little babies eat? They don't eat anything. They drink. All they drink is milk, because that's all they need. But the milk has to be given to them. Why? Because they're a baby. And that's why it says, Peter says here, look, for your baby Christians, you need to desire the milk of the word that you may be able to, that you may grow thereby. In other words, there are certain basic things as a baby Christian that you need to know. You need to know basic doctrine. And doctrine is a fancy word. It's just Bible teaching. You need to know about Jesus, who he is. You need to know about the word of God, what it does. And we need to know about assurance of salvation and forgiveness of sin and those things. There's basic things that every Christian needs to know. You know, unfortunately, some people have been Christians for years and they're still baby Christians. That is really sad. When someone gets saved, when they receive Christ as their Savior, but they stay a baby Christian. That is really sad, because we are supposed to grow. And then, as baby matures, you ever notice that with little babies? They like to start feeding themselves. And there's probably some parents here. You've got little kids at that stage. They like to feed themselves, usually with comical results. Especially when you get Weet-Bix. And you know, my kids were brought up on Weet-Bix. And you get the Weet-Bix and you mix it into a sloppy paste, you know. And then the little kid gets the spoon and the Weet-Bix ends up their nose. They can completely fill their nose with Weet-Bix, you know, the ear. And then, you know, Weet-Bix goes harder than concrete. And it's really funny watching these little kids try to feed themselves. Hey, but that's all part of growing up. And as a Christian, as you mature, you know, when you're a baby, you have to be fed. You have to be told. This is the Christian life. And that's why, by the way, mature Christians, we need to be training and teaching baby Christians. That's our job. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. The word disciple there means to teach. We need to feed them and get them to the stage where they can feed themselves. There's a lot of parallels here between little babies and toddlers and baby Christians. How can I grow as a Christian? Well, if you go back to 2 Peter 3:18, I've only just got 2 points tonight. And they're pretty quick. There's two ways as Christians that we grow. The first thing that Peter here says, he says to grow in grace. To grow in grace. What is grace? What is grace for the Christian? Now, we know that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense and so on, and grace is undeserved favour. I've got another definition for grace. Let me read it to you. Grace is God's enabling through the hard times. God's enabling through hard times. That's how a Christian grows. They grow by God getting them through hard times. You know, if you're a young Christian here tonight, I'm not quite sure who is and who isn't. But especially if you're a young person, if you're a young Christian, you're going to cop it. You're going to cop it maybe at home. If you come from a non-Christian home, you're going to cop it at school. And if there's someone here tonight and you're not a Christian and you're thinking about becoming a Christian, yes, you will cop it. You'll go through some hard times. But you know, when you go through those hard times, God's grace kicks in. And God will get you through the hard times. If you come to Acts chapter 9, we'll learn about a new Christian there. A fellow by the name of Saul. Acts chapter 9. And let me see. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. This is one of the most dramatic conversions in all the Bible. Acts 9, 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, the Christian way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now here's Saul. He was a Pharisee, and he just wanted to get as many Christians as he could and throw them into jail. Look what happened. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Right then and there, Saul became a Christian. And then we don't have time to go right through the chapter, but you can read through that chapter and see what happened in those first few days and few weeks of Paul's life as a Christian. But what I want you to notice here, if you look at Acts chapter 9, come down to verse 23. Or verse 22, But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Look at verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, look at this, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Hang on, this is their star recruit, Saul. And a little while later, it doesn't say how much it is, maybe it was a few weeks, maybe it was a few months, we don't know. But it says very, very soon after that, the Jews said, we need to kill Paul. How's that for some persecution? The Jews wanted him dead. Come over here to verse number 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he disputed against the Grecians or the Greeks. But they went about to slay him. So on one hand, he had the Jews wanting to kill him, and then he had the Greeks wanting to kill him. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had anyone wanting to kill me for being a Christian, not that I know of. Has anyone here ever had their life threatened because they're a Christian? No, we don't. You know, as soon as Paul was a Christian, he went through this hard time and he needed the grace of God. James chapter 1 talks about the trial of your faith. I went to high school in Parramatta in Sydney. And it was a real dumpy school. I think it's sort of better now. But it was a really rough school. And you didn't have a choice in those days. You had to go to whatever school. They just divided up the suburbs where you lived and you went to whatever school you were told to go to. And I wanted to go to Parramatta High, but I had to go to Arthur Phillip High School. And they had lots of gangs back in the mid-70s. They had the gangs there. And they had every day in the playground there was a fight. Do they have fights today in school? I don't know. But they would, the chant would come up, fight, 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 fight. And Pastor Val, do you remember those days at Morrisett High School? You had a good school, did you? I had a really rough school. And they reckon, they had gangs there, and they reckon that in my school and around that area, there was a gang called the Parramatta Sharps. You ever heard of the Parramatta Sharps? No, I didn't think you did. I actually don't know whether they were real or not. But anyway, we had this, they're always on the back of your mind that there were the Parramatta Sharps and they were coming to get you. Anyway, I remember I wasn't there that long. And, you know, word gets around that you're a Christian. In fact, if you don't swear like the rest of them and carry on like most people, people will very, very quickly realize there's something different about you. I didn't get up in the playground, you know, and preach, but they realised there was something different about me, and that he was most probably a Bible basher. They call him Bible bashers today? I don't know. They called me a Bible basher anyway. And I remember one lunchtime, I was in, what is it now? Grade, what's high school now start at seven? Seven, okay. I was in eight, year eight. And they came. This gang, there's about 10 or 12 of them, came up to me at lunchtime. I was sitting down eating my jam sandwich, my soggy jam sandwich. They came up to me and got me up by the shirt and they put me against the wall and they said, all right,
you think you're a tough Bible basher, do you? I didn't think I was a tough Bible basher. They said, you think you're a tough Bible basher. They said, all right, you think you're a tough Bible basher? We're going to make you swear. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. They said, we're going to make you swear. And I'll never forget this. One fella came up to me. He was only a little bloke. He came up and he went, spat straight in my face. He didn't like me for some reason. I didn't swear. They said, we're coming back tomorrow. And if you don't swear, we're going to beat the tripe out of you or something to that effect. You say, were you scared? I was petrified. As I was going home that day, I said to my best mate, Daniel, we were the only two Christians in the whole school that I knew of. 1,100 kids and two Christians. And I said to my friend Daniel, I said, what am I going to do? He said, I think you should say a little swear word. Don't say a real bad one. Just say sort of like a half bad one. And you know, I thought about that overnight. I thought, no, I can't do that. I just can't do it. That's compromise. Now, I'm not saying I was a great Christian. I'm not saying I was some, you know, John Wesley in the playground. I wasn't. But I just knew that I couldn't do that. And I think I remember saying, Lord, I really need some help at this stage. Now, I don't remember what happened from then on. And several times during my schooling life, I got beaten up, beaten to a pulp for different things, you know. It was a pretty rough school. But at that particular time, I don't quite sure what know what happened, but I didn't swear. They didn't come back. And I grew as a Christian. You see, sometimes you have to take a stand as a Christian. And sometimes, especially as a new Christian, you're going to cop it at school or at home or with your friends. You're really going to cop it. It might just be, it usually is ridicule. But you need to stand fast and say, well, I need the grace of God. And when the grace of God, grace is, what is grace? God's enabling in the time of need. God's enabling in the time of need. God's grace will be there. And that's how we grow. Someone says that flowers grow in the valley, not on the mountaintops. When we're in the valley, when life is hard, when there's lots of mud and dirt, that's when we grow. So if you get a, if you cop a hard, young people, you cop a hard time for being a Christian at school, okay, that's fine. That's fine. That'll make you, and by the way, don't fight back. Don't fight back. Some of us want to fight back and say, all right, come on, have a go, you know. No. If you want to fight for something else, well, you work that out. But when you're a Christian, you take it. You take it. And you will grow. And the other thing is, you will gain a whole heap of respect. As Christians, we are to grow in grace. How else are Christians to grow in grace? I've written a few things down here. Take your Bible, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3 and verse 16. How else are we to grow in grace? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look at this. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are to sing with grace. We are to sing with grace. And we are to sing with grace in our hearts. You see, singing is a spiritual matter. Singing is a spiritual matter. That's why when we choose our music, and by the way, it is so important to choose the right music. It is desperately important to choose the right music. Everyone loves music. Well, just about everyone. God made music. But when we choose our music, we must make sure that we choose our music according to the Spirit of God, according to spiritual things. You know, most people, if you say, why do you listen to that sort of music? Oh, because I like it. What it is, you're saying it's the flesh. We choose things because our flesh likes it. We need to choose things and choose our music from a spiritual basis. There's so much music out there. Some good, some not so good. You know, on the one end of the spectrum, you've got
You've got your full-on Christian rock music and so on, and I'm not judging the motives of those people, but the trouble is you've got to think, am I listening to that music because I want to feed my spirit, or am I feeding my flesh? And of course, on the other end of the scale, you've got Gregorian chants, you know, whatever they are. But no, we need to choose our music on the basis of what is spiritual, because that's how we grow. We grow through our music, and we are to sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Someone says, well, I choose my music because I like to feel good. And it's good to feel good. There's nothing. I don't like to feel bad. I don't know about you. I like to feel good. But, you know, we don't come to church to feel good. That's not why we come to church. We come to church to worship God. We come to church to encourage each other. We come to church to praise God. That's why we come. And, you know, if we come to church with the right motives, usually we end up feeling pretty good. Usually we end up enjoying ourselves. But feeling good or enjoyment, that's a byproduct. That's not why we come. We come to honour God. We come to put the spiritual first, and God adds all the other later. You know, us Christians, we have something to sing about. We really do. I love what Pastor Matt was saying before. Hymns that get stuck in your mind and stuck in your heart. You know, the Bible talks about a new song. And as Christians, we have every reason in the world to sing. And we should sing. And we are to sing with grace. Come over to chapter 4 and verse 6 of Colossians. Colossians 4, verse 6. We are to sing with grace. And then we are to speak with grace. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. You know, James said, the tongue is something that no man can tame. No man can tame. As Christians, our speech is to be gracious in our speech. I said before, you know, you can just about tell who's a Christian, even if you don't know them, by how they speak. You ever notice that? You can just about tell a Christian by how they speak. We are to be gracious in our speech. You know, now sometimes we need to be salty. It says we need to have a touch of salt. In other words, sometimes, just sometimes, we need to sting in the right sort of way, because that's what salt does. Salt stings, salt convicts. But most of the time we are to speak with grace. You know, what's our fleshly reaction there? Oh, that fella, you know what he said against me? You know what he said? Like someone said, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. And someone else said, well, what have you got to lose, you know? But I'm going to give him a piece of my mind, and that's not what the Christian says. A Christian's supposed, we're supposed to be gracious with what we say. So we are to sing with grace. We are to speak with grace. Maybe the first point could have been, we are to suffer with grace. And then thirdly or fourthly or whatever the number is, we are to serve with grace. Come over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28. Hebrews 12, 28. It says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We are to serve God with grace. You know, I think Jesus said, freely you've received, freely give. We have, those of us who are saved, we have received grace. God has been gracious to us in saving us. And that was free. So we need to live out a life of graciousness. We are to serve God graciously. How do we serve God? We serve God by serving others. By serving others. And we need to do that in a spirit of graciousness. many years ago, well, wasn't that long ago, 1991. What was that? 22, almost 23 years ago, we moved to Bathurst, New South Wales, and that was January 1991. And I started in full-time ministry then, January 1991. We moved to Bathurst. We were part of the church there. And I started out taking a few meetings. I didn't have a lot of meetings. Didn't have any church support. And I finished working for Qantas in early that month in the commercial sales. And we started off in the Lord's work. I knew the Lord wanted us there. But very quickly, your money runs out. We had three kids at the time. And you know, when you've got three kids, you still got all the bills have to be paid. And so we prayed and said, Lord, I need a job. I need some part-time casual work, because even though I was preaching at different places, there was very little money coming in, and even those meetings were few and far between. And so the Lord got me a job. I know the Lord got me this job at the RTA in Bathurst. What do you call the RTA in Victoria? Vic Roads. Okay. Does anyone like going to Vic Roads? Anyone? No, that's you're all normal. Okay. This RTA, the motor registry in Bathurst, was so bad that people would drive all the way to Orange, 65 k's away. They would drive to Orange to pay their registration and back again rather than waiting line at Bathurst. It was the most horrible government office in the history of government offices. It was just a terrible place, honestly. I mean, it's bad enough when you, even today, it's bad enough when you go into the RTA or whatever it's called now. I think it's the RMS or something or other. Vic Roads. When you go in there and you have to pay taxes, I mean, no one is happy doing that. Because you get nothing for it. It's just a tax, you know. Well, anyway, this place was, it was a horrible place to work. It was just your classic public service mentality office where people would go out of their way to be nasty. You know, the office would close, I think it was 5 o'clock. And you know, there'd be an old lady coming down the pathway, trying to get in there at, you know, 5 o'clock so she could pay the registration on her car. And she's hobbling down, you know, and she's 5 seconds late, and one of those public servants, they look at the clock, slam, doors closed, you know. It was that sort of thing. No one smiled. And for the first 4 years, I tried everything I could to get out of that place. Man, I hated it. I just hated it. I did everything I could, but it was as though God said, no, I've put you there for a purpose. So shush up and just go to work. And I tried everything to get out of that place. I hated that place. And they treated me. They knew I was a Christian. I got treated really badly. And I said, look, Lord, there's got to be something else I can do. No, and the Lord says, no, you just stay there and have a good spirit about it, and you be gracious there. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to serve the Lord with grace here. I don't want to do it. They didn't deserve it, but I'm going to have to do it. And so I used to take tracks and pin them to the notice board, and I would, you know, this was your life. I'd pin it to the notice board, and I would always be cracking jokes with the customers as they came in, and it made the other staff really cranky that someone was actually cracking a joke with the customer. The boss there, who was about 10 years younger than me, the boss there, he started asking, and he's a nice fella, really nice fella. He started asking questions about Christianity. He said, what is it all about? You know, about God and Jesus. And so after everyone went, Michael and I would stay back sometimes for an hour, and we'd talk about the gospel and about the Christian life. And after a couple of years, Michael got saved, and he started coming to our church in Bathurst. You know, things did get a little bit better over the years. The last 2 years there, I actually enjoyed myself. And after 6 years, the Lord moved us on. We left Bathurst. You know, the very week we left Bathurst, the very same week, Michael, the manager, left the registry as well for a promotion in Wollongong. And these were his words, almost his exact words. He said, Fraser, he said, God put me here to give you a job and help support your family. And God brought you here so that I'd get saved. Now, I'm not saying I was a perfect Christian. I wasn't. But when you're in a situation, and I'm sure there's someone here, and the situation you're in, you work in you're in a working environment that's not very nice. And you'd rather not be there. That's fine. You just serve with grace. You just put on a smile. You be helpful. You give 110%. You cover for other people. That's what the Christian does. That's what the Christian... Look at the life of Joseph. If you want a Bible example for that, go and read the life of Joseph and see 13 years Joseph was wrongly imprisoned, but he served with grace. And we can see what the end of that was. As Christians, we are to grow in grace. We are to suffer with grace. We are to sing with grace. We are to speak with grace. We are to serve with grace. That's the first way we are to grow. And very, very quickly, in just a few minutes, we read about the second part of our verse in Peter. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We are to grow in grace, and then we are to grow in knowledge. But not just knowledge. The Bible says knowledge puffeth up. No, it's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do we learn about Jesus Christ? Through the Word of God. Now, this little... you may have been taught this, but if you haven't, I'll give it to you anyway for free. I was taught this when I was a teenager, about how to have a grip on the Word of God. We grow in knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ through God's Word. What a five-finger grip on the Word of God. Here's the first one. We read it. We read God's Word. Did you read the Bible this morning? Did you read it? We need to read the Bible every single day. Now, you don't have to read 100 chapters a day, but read something. Read something. If you're a baby Christian, you need to read the Bible every day. Read something. We read. Secondly, we study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study is when we stop at a verse, or we stop at a passage, or we stop at a word, and we just dig a little bit deeper. Someone said that the Word of God is such an amazing book that a baby Christian can splash around in the shallows and a theologian can swim in the deep part. It's an amazing book. We need to read. We need to study. We need to listen to it. That's why it's so important that you come to church, that you come to youth group, that you come to Sunday school. Why? Because we need the Word of God preached and taught to us. Read, study, listen. Number four, memorize. We need to memorize. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. We need to memorize God's word. And lastly, we need to meditate on it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Joshua 1 verse 8. Read, study, listen, meditate, memorize. That's how we have a grip on the Word of God. That's how we grow. Here's the application for tonight, and I'm finished. I'm finished. Are you a Christian tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Was there a time when you called upon the Lord to save you? You know, there's a promise, a wonderful promise in the book of Romans in the Bible. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when it says whosoever, you can put your name in there. If you're not a Christian tonight, why not? Why not come tonight, bow before the Lord and say, dear Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me, and I now call on you to save me. Make me your child. If you come to the Lord, the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And secondly, if you are a Christian tonight, are you growing? Are you growing? Now, you might be a young person. You might be an old person. You might have been a Christian for 50 years. Are you growing? You know, we all need to grow. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 100 years. We still need to grow. Are you growing as a Christian? I wonder if there's some Christian here tonight and your Christian life is a bit, what's the word, stagnant? Or maybe you're actually going backwards a bit. Maybe you've lost your appetite for the things of the Lord. And maybe you need to follow that verse again that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So whatever applies to you tonight, my prayer and my desire is that you'll respond.